안녕하십니까. Fairhaven Lee, QAA. 하느님, 대해 하느님께 감사를 드립니다. Said, I thank God for Fairhaven Baptist Church. This church has had a huge impact on my life. After I got saved, I grew. And then I came to this place to go to Bible college. And we stayed. And as Pastor Darren mentioned, we were here for 15 years. I went through the 15-year church member college program. Some people can get it in 2 years. Some people can get it in four. It took me 15 years. But I praise God for all that he's doing. We are there. We're pastoring a church in Incheon. Brother Kim, Samuel Kim, was able to come over and be with us. And our people, they're sold out. They want the church. They wanted the church before I ever knew about it. And I praise God that we can be there. Tonight I'm going to preach a message that God has laid upon my heart. And I guess you could apply it to missions. But I think we can apply it really more to our Christian life. And the title of the message tonight, if you will, turn in Mark chapter 14, is She Hath Done What She Could. She Hath Done What She Could. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 here as we start out. Mark chapter 14, starting verse number 1, going down to verse number 9. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said in verse 6, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that I can come home. Lord, this place is very special to my family and I. And I thank you for all that I've learned. Lord, I thank you as I look out into the audience and I see all of my friends. And they're still faithful, and I praise you for that. God, just the testimony that is in itself over the years for me to see. But Lord, they came to hear from you tonight. And I pray that you would deal with some. Lord, you know who needs this message tonight. And we're counting on you to get through to that heart. So Lord, I pray your power be upon us. That you'd use this vessel standing here tonight for your glory and not for man's. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a wonderful... I really like this passage and the story that it has, and there are different applications that we can make. Here's this man, he's invited Jesus there to come and to eat with him in his house. And I'm sure that he was looking forward to that time that he could hear this one he thought was a prophet, a good man, speak to him. And here comes this other lady. And she comes in, whether invited or uninvited, whatever the story may be. She comes in because she wanted to see him. She wanted to get down and at his feet and worship him. And that's where we find the story. If you will, I'm going to go to the parallel passage in Luke chapter 7. and I want to see something here. The first thing I want to point out is that in this story, we can see the lady's condition. We see the lady's condition. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 38. See, this lady, she had a condition, as we can see here in the scripture. She had a disease, as we could say. Starting in verse 36, it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." See, here's the situation. Here's her condition. She was a sinner. Now, okay, we all are sinners. We understand that. We can identify with that. But there was something about this lady that indicated that she was a sinner. Maybe this man Simon, maybe he knew her and he knew that she was a sinner. But the Bible tells us clearly about her condition. She was a sinful person. She had gained that reputation. In verse 39, if you will follow me there, it says, "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman this is that toucheth him." And what does he say? "For she is a sinner." See, Simon understood what her condition was. He knew that she was a sinful woman. And he's curious, and he goes there, and he's thinking, wow, that's really loud. I'm sorry. And he was thinking, if this was really a prophet, if this one named Jesus, if he could know everything, wouldn't he know what kind of woman this was? She's a sinner. Why is he letting her do that? You know, we make that same mistake sometimes when we're looking out into the world. We see the man with a tattoo. Personal inside joke there. Pastor Dameron and Paul Payton, they got it, okay? And they say, "Look at that man over there. I guarantee you he doesn't have a good family, and I bet that he goes out and he drinks on the weekends, and I know that by looking at that man, he's a sinner." Instead of pointing those things out, what Simon failed to do and what we often fail to do is to take that sinner and bring him to Jesus' feet. He was so wrapped up in who she was and her condition, he forgot that, you know, here's this one that could take care of this problem of hers. But the problem was, he was blind himself. If we can, let's continue. We see that Jesus saw her condition as well. I'm going to read verses 40 through 47 here in Luke 7. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He saith, Master, say on. There's a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." You know, the Lord uses this story. He talks about the creditor and the debtors, and he tries to open up Simon's eyes to get him to see that his spirit, his attitude was wrong.
Here, this woman, yes, yeah, she didn't have much to offer. She didn't have a great religious upbringing. She didn't have something that you could point to and say, man, she's the cream of the crop. But she fell down at Jesus' feet. She worshiped the Lord. I remember years ago, I was out on the bus route. And, you know, this whole homosexual thing, I know it's really, it's disturbing. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised about it. It's been in the making for decades because Christians are really comfortable on their leather sofas and watching their big screen TVs and enjoying the convenient lifestyle. Of course it's going to happen. But I remember years ago, I was out on a bus route and there was a young man that was with me. And we went into this house like we did every Saturday. Inside that house, there was a lesbian girl. I knew her. She told us who she was. And I remember one day I went in and I sat down next to her. And she said, you know what? God won't accept me. But at that time, I noticed that this young man that was with me, he decided that he was going to go outside. I sat there and I talked to this young lady about the Lord for about 45 minutes. She didn't get saved. Then I went outside and I asked this young man, I said, why did you leave? Where did you go? He said, well, I wasn't going to sit in there with that. And it broke my heart. See, the problem is we like to look at the sinner and we like to say, they're a sinful person. Yes, they are. And what we need to do is we need to realize that we need to bring those people to the feet of Jesus so they can worship Him. You know, we go out and invite people to church. Yes, praise the Lord for that if they come. But you know what? Many people aren't going to step their foot into the church until we bring them to Jesus first. In verse 48, we hear the sweet words, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. The sweetest words a sinner can hear. Words that I remember hearing almost 23 years ago when a faithful man shared the gospel with me. A tattoo, alcohol, drinking, good for nothing man. I was a sinner, and it was very clear by looking at me that I was, but I praise God today that someone brought me to the feet of Jesus. Yes, she was a sinner. Simon didn't realize that he was a sinner too, though. He was trusting in his good deeds and all that he had. He was trusting in what he had done and thought he was good enough. Now, if you will, go back to Mark chapter 14. So we saw her condition. I just now want to see her gift. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 5. We've already read it, but I'll read it again. Verses 3 through 5. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Here this lady, she had something that was very precious to her. Something that maybe she had been saving for a long time. Some say that maybe that it was a year's wage worth of value. And when she heard of the master coming, she wanted to go. And she took this thing. It wasn't her great, again, upbringing. It wasn't anything that she really did upon herself. It was something that was very precious personally to her. She came and she gave it all to the Lord. She gave every bit of it. Tonight, I ask you, what is it that's precious in your life? Are you willing to give all of it to the Lord? I know that just over 5 years ago, it was actually 2009 that God told me to go. I had to give up something that I thought was precious to me, my ambition, my desire, my dreams. But what is it tonight that's important to you? Is it your home? Your children? He's not crying anymore. Your retirement? Maybe even your job. What are you holding back that could be given to God? You know, you're about to have stewardship time. You know, God doesn't want you to just give your offerings and tithes and offerings. He wants it all. And you know, this is not something new. You've heard this for years. But what are you holding back? That precious gift. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your life. Maybe God wants you to go and do something. And you say, no, I'm locked in. I'm locked into this church. I'm a faithful bus captain. And my wife teaches in the college. Yeah, I've been there. Are you willing? That's the question. Are you willing to do what you can with what you got? This lady, she brought everything. And you know, I'm sure her family, they said, what are you doing? You're crazy. I had friends. What are you doing? You're crazy. Why are you going? Why are you going to do this? But she gave everything. Let's look here at verses 6 through 9. We see that Jesus saw her gift as well. Verses 6 through 9. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her. Can I tell you something? That in South Korea that this message is being preached. In China, people have heard what this lady hath done. In Japan, people have heard the story about how this lady did what she could. In Africa and all over the world, people have heard from this passage about what this lady had offered the Lord. And can I tell you something? All she did was she did what she could. She just gave what she had, and she gave it all. You know, I like this idea here. He says something about the poor you have with you always. You know, it's so funny how people, they get hooked up on this social gospel and, man, we got to go to Africa. What are you going to do in Africa? Well, we're going to take them food. Amen. What about preach Christ? Amen. That's what we're here to do. We have 70 years to live our lives, maybe. If that's a good life, some of you are older than that. Amen. When you stand before the mighty God of heaven and he says, what did you do? What are you going to have there? What are you going to be able to offer up to the master? See, this lady, she did what she could, and there's a memorial for her today. She hath done what she could. If we could, I want to look at a couple other people in the Bible that did what they could. Look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. We'll read verses 1 through 4. We all know these stories very well, I'm sure. Maybe some of you are here and you don't, but this is about the widow and the two mites. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. All the living. What was Jesus saying here? He was saying she did what she could.
She had only two mites, and all these rich people, man, they had wealth, and they were throwing that money in, and they probably thought that they were good and that their lives were okay. But here comes this little, and I can just picture it. I'm making all this up, but I can just picture this little lady hobbling along, and she takes all the money that she has, and she puts it in there. She gave all. She did what she could. She did what she could. This one, now turn to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. I want to talk about Samson. You say, brother, Samson, are you kidding me? That guy was a disaster. He had a woman problem. And that woman problem got him into bigger trouble. He had a spiritual problem is what he had. And it got him into trouble. And where was he at? He's down there grinding in the mill house with no eyes. His mistakes had cost him everything. Anybody here make a mistake? You all know me, right? You know I've made some mistakes. Have you ever made some really bad mistakes? Yeah, amen. We all have. Here Samson is. If you will, look at verses 25 to 30. Judges 16, 25 to 30. I got to go quickly here. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that we may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Now these ones that he slew, who were they? They were the enemies of God. They hated everything that God represented. And here Samson was. He was broken down, beaten up, full of a sinful past. Full of horrible mistakes that he had made. And he gets up there and he says, God, just give me one more chance. One more time. And he bows himself and he pulls the building down and wipes out the Philistines. You know what? God is not interested in what happened yesterday. If you're here today and you've made mistakes in your life, today's a new day. And all God is asking is that with what you have left in you to do what you can. Do what you can. I'm going to look at verses 8 through 9. 8 through 9 again. Just one, Mark chapter 14, I'm sorry. Verses 8 through 9. Actually, I'm just going to read verse 8. Verse 8, Mark chapter 14 says this. She hath done what she could. She's come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Tonight, I want to close with a story. I want to close with a story. It's about my mother. Now, most of you, some of you have met my mother. She passed away as a result of us going to Korea
It's a long story, very fascinating story, but my mother got saved when she was a teenager at a revival meeting. After the revival meeting, she went up forward and someone dealt with her and showed her how to be saved. Shortly after that time, she moved away. No one trained her how to be a good Christian. No one taught her what it was to be a good church member. Because of that, her life was not very easy. She had a lot of ups and downs. She met my father right after Vietnam, and he was a disaster. They were married. 9 months later, I was born. 18 months later, they were divorced. Here, this young lady was. She was only 17 at the time, and she's already, her past is very sketchy. People are looking at her and thinking of her that, man, what's wrong with this lady? She can't keep it together. Shortly after that, my sister was born, about 2 years later, out of wedlock. But I remember as a child, my mom would open up the story Bible with us. And she would sit down and she would tell us the stories of God and the miracles in the Bible. And we'd pray. I remember we'd pray three prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. The Lord, I pray my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, the Lord, I pray my soul to keep. And then we'd say the Lord's Prayer. And then we would make up a prayer of our own. And I remember as I got older and my life became a disaster itself. I remember coming home from parties and getting on my knees and I would pray the same way. After I got saved when I was 19, about 23 years ago, my mom had then married a Christian man. She was going to church. She was praying for me. I got saved. She got on fire for the Lord. She started telling people about Jesus. She'd come and go to work and she'd preach the gospel to them. I'm sorry. She would share the gospel with them. Korea, they're Presbyterian. I can't help it. And again, like I said, my mom died at the age of 54 years old. But I remember after I came to Fairhaven, I would go back to her and I'd say, oh, come on, Mom, you got to be a better Christian than you are. You can't do this, you can't do this, you got to do this, you can't do this, you got to do this. She'd just smile. And I'd watch her as she'd sit there and read her Bible for 2 hours and then pray for more. I caused her great pain, but after, again, she was excited. She was serving the Lord, and the doctor that she worked for got saved, and his family got saved, and now they're faithful serving members in a church. And because my mother did what she could, and she, as a child, instilled the belief of God and the Bible in me, I believe that my salvation was a result of my mom's just doing what she could all her life to teach us truth. And today she's in heaven looking down on us as we're in South Korea, just doing what we can, sharing the gospel with people and teaching them to do what they can. Tonight, are you doing what you can? Are you giving all? Are you fully surrendered to do whatever God wants? You say, I'm doing it right now. Are you sure? If you're here and you're broken down, maybe your life's been a mess. You know, God, again, he's not thinking evil towards you. The Bible says he doesn't think evil towards us. He thinks good of us, and he is preparing us to an expected end. And I'm butchering that verse, but tonight, all God wants from us is to take everything that we have, all our resources, time, money, talents, whatever it may be, and do what we can. If you would.